especially in these times where things are very uncertain. We are in very uncertain times, and it's just the grace of God that we need to depend on to go a day at a time. So, well, let's just get started with some of the news in the course of the last week and a few from the previous week. Because last week we didn't talk about it, but there are one or two very important ones there. Last week there was this one that happened in the US where, you know, over the years I've been following end time stuff for close to 10 years, by the grace of God, 10 to 11 years actually. And, no, a little more than 10 though, but okay, roughly, thereabout. I've noticed that the Lord gives coded messages as well as the normal straight plain messages. This is one of such a message. This current news, what I'm coming to read. Death Valley. This is the headline. Death Valley reaches 56 degrees. Possibly hottest temperature on planet since 1913. Death Valley. The hottest place on the planet may have been right here in California on Sunday. According to the National Weather Service, Death Valley's Furnace Creek. Listen, the Furnace Creek. reached a high temperature of 56 degrees at 3:41 p.m. on that Sunday. If the temperature is verified, it will be the hottest temperature on the planet since July 10, 1913, when the temperature was 56.7 degrees Celsius. And this was also observed at Furnace Creek. Furnace. If you've read your Bible enough, when you hear the word furnace,
you know where he said it to us.
Daniel chapter 3 should come to mind. And then Death Valley. You know, it's not just a coincidence. The Lord is drawing our attention to some things, but unfortunately, we are not seeing it. Let me continue. About 11,000 lightning bolts strike California, igniting hundreds of fires in the state facing multiple crises. For those who've been watching foreign news, you've seen California, major fire. This time, the fires are coming from God himself. Lightning strikes, and then the fires are started. Multiple fires. And the areas being burnt are vast. I mean, it's huge. You know, a lot of warnings are coming to the U.S. and to the rest of the world. You know, God gives advance warnings so that the people would repent. But as these things go on, their repentance is not coming. And even they are becoming more anti-God, anti-godly, more anti-Christian. And then this headline also says, so I said, last week alone, about 11,000 lightning bolts hit the state within 72 hours. That's within 3 days. Igniting hundreds of fires. California Fire spokesman Jeremy Rand said statewide, there are a total of 367 fires, 26 of them considered major blazes, according to officials. Then this one headline says, Famine, I didn't give this headline, no. I'm copying exactly as it is. Famine of biblical proportions, quotes and unquotes.
Biblical proportions. So they know there is Bible.
Looms over humanity due to COVID-19, according to UN food chief. This is the UN chief in charge of that's food, that's FAO, WFP, World Food Program. And he uses the phrase, farming of biblical proportions.
They are now coming to their senses.
As to whether he's a Christian or not, I don't know.
They are coming to their senses.
The COVID-19 pandemic may lead to a calamity of epic scale, with millions facing starvation worldwide, the head of UN's hunger fighting body has warned. Quote, all the data we have, including WFP forecast, that the number of people experiencing malnutrition will grow by 80% by the end of the year. That's serious. And then he points out to a real disaster. David Beasley, that's the executive director of the UN World Food Program, WFP, said the rapid increase in the number of people who can't feed themselves would be just an immediate outcome of the pandemic, which caused the disruption of food growth and logistics worldwide. More long-term damage is bound to materialize in the years to come. Quote, obviously, social tensions will grow. Migration will increase. Conflicts will escalate. And hunger will likely affect those who didn't experience it before, unquote, the official told the Russian news agency TASS. WFP projections say Latin American nations face the most dramatic change in their situation, with the number of malnourished people increasing by as much as 269%, according to Beasley. The same metric for countries in Eastern and Central Asia stands at 135%. Sub-Saharan Africa may see the number of their hungry almost double. Global hunger is already high, according to Beasley. And unless bold action is taken now, many will die, children will suffer from the consequences of malnutrition for many years, and the world will lose all the progress made in fighting hunger over the past decade, he said. If we read the prophetic warning the Lord is giving that Christians should start storing up food, and then hunger is coming, and now UN chief in charge of food is giving this warning, when the prophets have spoken, and now the food experts, world food expert, UN food expert, WFP head, is also confirming this. He is coming from science and data. So he is not just speaking from his mind. He is using science and data to give such warning. And if the prophets have also given such dire warnings from the Lord, then it tells you that we have to act and take it serious. This is not scaremongering, but these are the realities that we have to face. The next one says, Pope Francis backs universal COVID vaccination for all. And Pope Francis backs universal COVID vaccination for all. And the WHO is thrilled. Of course, they will be happy. This is 21st August, report from the Vatican City. Pope Francis has backed global elites such as Bill Gates when it comes to coronavirus vaccination, saying that it should be, quote, universal and for all, unquote. Quote, universal and for all. In his Wednesday afternoon address, the Argentinian pontiff made his comments in the context of opposing rich countries and people obtaining the vaccine. Quote, it would be sad if we gave priority for the COVID vaccine to the richest people, unquote, Pope Francis declared. It would be sad if this vaccine became the property of this or that nation and was not universal and for all, unquote. No. He continued.
They present it for in a, it in to a positive look way. As if they are doing it to favor the poor.
Yes.
So our minds will just become, oh,
it's a good
it
thing.
Is in our interest. What do you say to me?
Vaccination critics, including environmental lawyer Robert F. Kennedy Jr., are warning that key parts of testing are being skipped in the push to develop a COVID vaccine. Critics warn about the risks of large-scale injury and other health-related consequences that could result from a large, untested vaccine that is suddenly injected into millions. You know, and on and on and on. You know, let me say something here. This week, I watched a video. I had already read a report on it. You know, I now understand why the Lord is giving warnings that we should not take this vaccine.
This.
When polio vaccine and other vaccines, the Lord didn't give any prophecies. People should not think. There were no prophecies. This one, there are prophecies, and God is warning them because there is a DNA altering in what they are working on. So the vaccine that Bill Gates is sponsoring and pushing millions and all in, the ultimate aim is that eventually it will alter your DNA.
So you are not a child of God again.
So when you take these vaccines, you are not as God created you again. Your God, the DNA is the. I mean, is the. It's like your motherboard. I mean, scientifically, it's like that's how God.
Computer.
The blueprint itself of you is in your DNA. Now they want to alter the DNA. They are trying to play God. So that is why this particular vaccine, this
the
particular
Lord is warning and vaccine, warning
I mean,
and
disease.
Warning.
The warnings are coming that we should not take it. I mean, other vaccines were fine. Polio, yellow fever, you are traveling airport, you take it before. I mean, those ones were okay. Nothing, there were no warnings against it. But this one, we have to be careful because of the DNA altering sequence and all that. That is quite scientific. I mean, there's an agenda behind it. So we have to be very careful about it. Then we get to this one. Okay, so the latter part, the WHO director, he tweeted and said, he publicly echoed the pontiff's hopes. The director of WHO publicly echoed the pontiff's, that the Pope's hopes that the world's poor are inoculated against the virus. So he was in favor of what the Pope was saying.
Those of the same feathers flock together and they confuse the owner.
Israeli aircraft strike Hezbollah post after shots fired at troops. These people. And the IDF announced of rare strikes on Lebanese terror group positions. And this has been, there's not been any attacks against these positions since 2006. So it's quite a change.
It's been done much.
Yeah. Then China test fires so-called carrier killer, quote and unquote, carrier killer. That's the U.S. Air Force carrier. So
they want to kill
them. They want to destroy the carrier. And they test those missiles into the South China Sea. China launched a series of ballistic missiles into the South China Sea this week, according to the U.S. defense officials. Part of the flurry of military exercises extending thousands of miles along the country's coastline as tensions with Washington over the disputed waterway continue to escalate. Beijing claims almost all of the vast South China Sea as its sovereign territory and has stepped up efforts to assert its dominance over the resource-rich waters in recent years, transforming a string of obscure reefs and atolls into heavily fortified man-made islands and increasing its naval activity in the region. China's territorial ambitions are contested by at least five other countries and have been rejected outright by Washington, which has declared Beijing's claims to be illegal under international law. Then this headline, violent riots erupt in Malmo. That's yesterday. It happened yesterday, Sweden, after Quran-touching stunt, according to the police. And they say they have no control over the situation. A wave of chaotic unrest broke out in Malmo, Sweden, after anti-Islam activists filmed a public Quran burning, sparking protests that soon descended into riots, with unruly demonstrators setting fires and clashing with police. Some 300 people gathered along a main thoroughfare in Malmo on Friday around 7:30 p.m. local time to protest after members of the far-right political party staged a Quran burning earlier in the day, according to a local press report. As the crowd grew, fires were ignited in the street and several cars were torched, prompting a heavily police response that struggled to bring the situation under control. "We have ongoing and violent riots right now that we have no control over," police spokesman Richard Lundquist told the local news outlet amid the disorder. You know, there is a growing increase in the spirit of lawlessness. U.S. this week, the police shot.
Where do you go and burn Quran filming? They are just staging them to let the chaos come.
Yes, you see, something has to happen. Like the shooting in, is it, which state? Wisconsin? where the police shot the man seven times at the back this week. And then it started under route of, you know, fire burning, and they go to dealership where they sell new cars, and then they just put fire in all the cars, just burning them, confusion all over. You see, there is that growing lawlessness. And see, what we are seeing in these countries should just give us a foretaste
of what is about coming worldwide. The entire world.
We are not immune to these things. We should not deceive ourselves that Ghana, we are Ghana, we are peaceful. Look at the registration that happened recently. People died, two people were killed because of just voter registration. I mean, what is so important about this?
What about election?
So it tells you, see, as humans, it's the only difference is a God-fearing person. Mind on the spirit of God, we can do any evil thing that others are doing elsewhere. You know, Africa, look at Sierra Leone. Weren't they cutting people's arms and long sleeve or short sleeve? You know, it tells you how wicked the unsaved person is. So we should never deceive ourselves. Ghana, dear, we are hospitable. Ghana, dear, we are nothing. We are as evil as any other country. If we want to be as evil, that day something happens and we want to be evil, it will amaze you.
We will be worse.
No, but don't armed robbers shoot people?
That's it. We will be worse.
Armed robbers take people's phones and they don't have money and they kill them. Armed robbers kill people. So it's that same spirit that is at work in other places, and we see it in the news. So when we see these things, all you can do is start praying ahead of time that God should protect us and deliver us from evil. Well, that's the least we can do.
He will surely protect his children.
Then we have Russians overwhelmingly oppose microchipping of humans and fear becoming cyborgs without even knowing it, according to a state opinion poll. You know, cyborg is, you know, those old action movies.
Having control.
Where human robots, The majority of Russians are opposed to implanting microchips into the human body, a popular idea in scientific fiction movies, yet rare in reality, a recent survey has discovered. Whilst a whopping 77% of those surveyed by the Russian Public Opinion Research Center, a state-linked outfit, said they are against the idea in principle, 45% elaborated that they were afraid of being implanted without even knowing it. Other hyper-anxious citizens stressed that their fears were based on the presumption that microchips could be hazardous for their health or be used for 24-hour surveillance. Only 11% of respondents said they either were not as concerned or had other things to worry about. Nevertheless, they didn't expect technology that could render people cyborgs to appear anytime soon, at least not during their lifetime. 23% had never heard about such technology before. The sociologists enlightened them. Some people, also a tiny minority, believe chipping would benefit them, making it easier to replace paper IDs and bank cards or help in search for missing persons. You know, for people who love technology, be warned. Technology is good, but we should know where to put the brakes.
Apply the brakes.
If you enjoy it and it's like, technology, this is. I remember I had a discussion on this with a friend. He's also into IT, and we're talking. It would be good. Wouldn't it be good that you have a chip in you, and then it's like everything is sorted? You just go, your hand, the door opens. I told him, Masa, it's not about it's good or it's not good. It's about your body is the temple of God. And these systems are to counter God and to make you a creation of a human system to control you. You see, sex is the number of man. So it tells you that being embodied by a 666 system means they are now a man-controlled person, no longer a God-controlled person. So we have to be careful. It's not just about, it's good or it's not, technology is good, so it doesn't matter. It's about the intent of the whole and the motive behind this whole agenda. That's where we should know where to draw the line. All right, let's proceed. There's a few headlines on persecution. Pastor and 16-year-old girl among 11 Christians killed in Kaduna State, Nigeria. As for Nigeria issues, serious. Local officials in Nepal order the halt to construction of church building. And China fines Christian man $2,870 for holding online Bible study. Online Bible study. This is not even home church. Online, Zoom or whatever technology you use, WhatsApp or Zoom or whatever, online. And that one too, they said he has violated anti-religion law. As outcry grows, 37 more Christians killed in Nigeria. This one says, Christian hospitalized for more than 2 weeks after assault in India. You know, persecution is really increasing in various parts of the world. Various parts of the world.
Ghana should be ready for a patch.
Oh, yeah. And then former Planned Parenthood official says, we pushed sex education on kids to create a market for abortion. You know, you educate the people about sex. You tempt them to engage in fornication. They get pregnant.
Teenage pregnancy,
then they go and abort. Then they abort, go and sell the body parts, make millions of dollars out of it. It's a whole business empire. And I saw the list, how the body parts, how the cost of the body parts, baby body parts, and yeah, it's outrageous. The liver, it's so crazy. And for those who don't know too, some of the vaccine trials going on with for the COVID, the corona, they are using aborted baby parts in it. You see, these are all reasons why God says we should not take, because they are using fetal parts, the fetus, the parts in some of these vaccine trials. So you see, there's a lot of evil going on in the name of science and research. A lot of evil is going on. All right. Mega church pastor. Yeah, don't be angry. Hold your brakes at time. No, it will make you... Mega church pastor says abortion is consistent with Christianity and I will fight to keep it legal. When I saw it, I said, oh, no, America. No wonder God is angry against this nation.
No wonder their time is starting very soon.
Because, I mean... And he's applying, he's vying to be in the Senate.
Oh no.
A pastor?
You don't blame him if he's vying for Senate. Hmm? And that's the same way you would think.
A pastor of Georgia Mega Church, who is also running for U.S. Senate, said last week he believes legalized abortion is, quote, consistent with, unquote, consistent with Christianity, and he would fight to ensure it remains legal. Raphael Warnock, senior pastor of Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta, and a Democratic candidate trying to unseat Republican U.S. Senator Kelly Loeffler in November's election, made the comments to WGAU Tim Bryant. Bryant asked Warnock how the pro-choice views of the Democratic Party square with his role as a minister, a leader of a church, a man of God. Quotes, then he responds, I believe that healthcare is a human right, said Warnock, who has served as a senior pastor of the church since 2005. And I believe that it's something that the richest nation in the world provides for its citizens. For me, reproductive justice is consistent with my commitment to that. I believe unequivocally in women's right to choose, and that decision is something that we don't want government engaged in. That's between her and her doctor and her minister, and I'll fight for that in the U.S. State Senate, and at the same time continue to fight so women can receive the kind of services that they need in order to have a healthy pregnancy and healthy babies. We have a maternal death rate in this country that is exceedingly high, particularly to be the richest country in the world. You know, abortion, official abortion numbers so far in the U.S. from the 60s coming, it's over 60 million babies have been killed. Why won't God be angry? 60 million. This is official documented 60 million babies. Heaven is populated, though.
Thank you.
All these ones. 60 million plus babies have been killed. And it doesn't get any better with this next news. Nancy Pelosi, the House Speaker, says killing babies in abortions unleashes the power of women. Yes. And she is the third most, I mean, after the president, the vice, she's the next powerful woman person in the U.S. because the House, she's the leader of the House. So if at the top you have such evil minds, can you imagine? House Speaker Nancy Pelosi praised Democrats for being the champions. You see, they are happy about it. They are proud about it. For being the champions of abortion on Wednesday. That was last week Wednesday when they were doing their DNC, the Democratic National Convention. During her speech at the DNC. For years, Pelosi has helped push the Democratic Party to adopt an increasingly radical pro-abortion agenda. One that calls for unrestricted abortions up to birth. So they passed a bill 2 years ago where even a nine-month-old baby, before the baby is born, can be aborted. A full-term baby, nine-month-old baby that can be born today, that baby can be aborted in the name of abortion. So it's like instead of the baby being born as a full baby human being, that same process can be called abortion and the baby will be killed. This is how evil the system has become.
And they expect God to be smiling at them.
Serious.
They should be ready.
Serious. Earlier this year, she even led Democrats in blocking a measure to protect newborns from infanticide. And this was, when I read, this one came up earlier, it was outrageous that even when the abortion fails and the baby survives, they should still kill the baby. These are killers. So these are murderers and killers.
They are demon-possessed people.
On Wednesday, the California congresswoman claimed Democrats are empowering women by advocating for abortion on demand, according to the National Review reports. We are unleashing the power of women to take our rightful place in our national life by championing a woman's right to choose and defending Roe versus Wade. That's that court case on, I mean, it's been a long, that law on abortion in the U.S. And she said, who is standing in the way? Is it Mitch McConnell or Donald Trump? So these are, to them, these are the people who are opposing their plans. If Democrats win the House and the Senate, Pelosi promised that they would push to expand abortions across America. So this is their dream.
They have no problem. They should go ahead. God
so this is the, you see, this is the evil. And the reason why these things are important is the fact that America is a beacon that people, a lot of countries look up to.
Yes,
what happens in America eventually resonates to the rest of the world.
Of the world.
So when they set the standard, be it good or be it evil,
people will just accept
it influences
it
other societies. So that's how, the reason why when God wants to punish them, it will be as a warning
to
everyone looking at, if you also go their way, you also not be spared. And that's why we should be careful and fear God, because if they go this way and think that God will never punish them, it's a deception. Because, see, what you sow,
you reap it.
It's the time lapse between the sowing and the reaping that varies from person to person and from country to country. But it gets to a point where it overflows. See, Abel was killed and his blood cried out. If the blood of Abel cried out when he was killed, can you imagine the blood of 60 million babies killed over the period of time? Can you imagine? God might may have to be blocking the ears because the cries will be too many. 60 million babies. 60 million babies. It's serious. Okay, we're almost done. A few things, then we are done for the news. And the Democrats Party, their vice president-elect that they chose for the party to supports Joe Biden. She there, she's even worse, cry. Carries that woman, another. Kamala Harris says, quote, "We must keep fighting to defend killing babies in abortions up to birth." So now you see how evil the Democrat Party is. It's like from top down, the whole party, that's what they stand for. If you are doing a convention and you come and then you are talking about killing babies and people are clapping and are cheering, tells you the society has really gone off completely. U.S. Senator from California, the evil ones all come from California and New York. Oh, yeah, I mean, U.S. Senator from California and Joe Biden's vice presidential running mate, Harris, has opposed legislation to protect late-term unborn babies from abortion and newborns from infanticide. Her voting record is 100% pro-abortion. This week, parents raised awareness about one of Harris' infamous abortion votes by sharing images of their babies, born and unborn, on Twitter, the Federalist reports. In 2018, Harris was a vocal opponent of the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act, a bill to prohibit abortions after 20 weeks when strong scientific evidence indicates unborn babies can feel pain. "We must, quote, we must fight, keep fighting to defend and expand on the progress made for women's rights and reproductive health, not pass the 20-week abortion ban," Harris wrote on Twitter at the time. Her tweet gained renewed attention last week after Harris accepted the Democrat vice presidential nomination. Parents responded with concerns and horror at her refusal to grant basic human rights even to the late-term unborn babies. Harris' position is barbaric, and Americans know it. Polls consistently show that most Americans support protections for unborn babies at later stages of pregnancy. But 20 weeks, unborn babies are nearly fully formed and capable of feeling intense pain. They also are very close to viability. The youngest recorded premature baby to survive was born at 21 weeks, 0 days gestation in 2019 in Georgia. In most states, however, unborn babies may be legally aborted for any reason at 20 weeks of pregnancy or later. Some states have no time limits on abortion whatsoever, and abortion facilities in Colorado and New Mexico openly advertise late-term abortions on viable unborn babies in the third trimester. Third trimester, that's 6 months, seven months, 8 months, 9 months baby can still be aborted. Is this not murder? Is this not murder? So, for those who don't understand why God is giving numerous warnings to America, these are the fundamental reasons. The evil. So there's where is the repentance coming from? They are still talking about it and are happy and are bragging about it. As late as just last week, they are bragging about killing babies and are glad about it and are going, even saying in advance, we are going to do it more when we come to power. So where is the repentance? They are not sorrowful about it. They are not sorry about it. They are even going to do it more. So is it? So clearly, I mean, they are just pushing their fingers before God and saying that we don't care. That's the bottom line. We don't care. You can do your worst. We also do our worst. We don't care. 400 plus faith leaders say that government-funded Christian foster care organizations must place children with gay couples. Can you imagine? Suppose Christian faith leaders are advocating that foster care homes should place children when gay couples are requesting for babies or children. They should give it to them. So what type of faith leaders are they? What type of faith leaders? You see, it tells you how the system has become so lukewarm and evil-ridden to the point where what is good is bad and what is bad is now good. AutoZone stabbing suspect, quote, says, "I felt like the need to find a white male to kill," unquote, according to the police court testimony. The suspect in the August 25th AutoZone stabbing on the 32nd Street made his first appearance in court. This happened in the U.S. during the routes, recent routes, and all those confusion. Javon Hatchett, 19, is charged with aggravated assault and possession of weapon during the commission of a crime. Hatchett faces these charges for a stabbing he allegedly committed on 25th August, around 8:36 a.m. at the Auto Zone. Police said he stabbed a store employee in an unprovoked attack. Columbus Police Sergeant R.S. Mills gave testimony in court about the case. Mills told the court that when he asked Hatchett why he stabbed the Auto Zone employee, Hatchett said, quote, listen. He said he felt the need to find a white male to kill, unquote. After watching videos of police brutality happening across the country, Hatchett is being held without bond at the Muskogee County Jail until his case goes to the Superior Court. Let me say something here. In the June, after the George Floyd case and the riots and all those things, a pastor in the U.S., a black pastor, sent out a message to warn Christians that he was watching the George Floyd killing, like, you know, he was watching the riots and all that. And the more he was watching it, anger started building up in him. So he realized, then the Holy Spirit prompted him that he should turn off the TV.
There is something behind it.
And then the Holy Spirit started telling him that there is a spirit behind what is happening. Hmm. So as you watch it, as you follow it, like you place your... It eventually influences you. So now the pastor was warning Christians to be careful, because this is a clear example of this person. He watched the videos and now he got provoked that he should... So that now the demon or the demons, whether one or more, whatever, now influences him to find a white male to kill. As a form of retaliation for the police killings of a black person or black people. This whole thing is demonic. And the next news item even confirms it perfectly. Black Lives co-founder, BLM, the Black Lives Matter co-founder, LA chapter leader, discussed groups' occultic practices of invoking spirits and African ancestral worship. So Christians who are following the Black Lives Matter and Black this, and be very careful, because this whole thing is a demonic agenda. I've said it here before, it's part of the New World Order's agenda, because they have to break down the barriers of racism for the New World Order to be effective. Because if you are going to be one in the world, there cannot be racism. So this whole issue of racial things that is going on is initiated as a way of breaking down racial barriers to form, as part of the New World Order system. So don't just see it as, yes, the police are misbehaving, things are being done wrongly and all, but there are forces behind these things to cause something to happen, for something to happen. And that's what is happening. So I was telling a friend this week that, you see, now we'll see more abnormal shootings from the police, not because they wanted to shoot, but some forces will push them to do it so that more chaos will... You see, something is pushing people to do what they have to do so that some things can take place. So now, if you are just ordinary person who just moves around, no Christian, no prayer, nothing, then the forces will get you. Like this man who heard voices, most likely go and look for a white person and kill. So the same way, a policeman will feel like shooting someone, a black person. And he acts, that black person will also have a feeling to misbehave and do something that will provoke a police. And he provokes a policeman. The policeman will also feel provoked and also shoot when they shouldn't shoot. And then something will happen and then it triggers. This is so, we are in a time where the spirit of lawlessness is moving across the land, the world system. And those who are ready to, let it work on them, it will work on you. So let me read this BLM co-founder issue. So this LA, that's Los Angeles chapter, the leader, says, in an interview posted to their social media, BLM co-founder Patrice Coulos, along with BLM Los Angeles co-founder Melinda Abdullah, discussed the spiritual component of the movement.
the spiritual component.
All this while we've been hearing, oh, blacks is for blacks. Have you ever heard of spiritual aspect being spoken before? No. But this week, now this one comes up. The spiritual component of the movement, explaining the practices and rituals performed to remember and invoke the spirits of deceased African Americans. Invoking the spirits of dead black Americans. You see, as soon as you hear these things, then we are told we've moved into the realm of demonic activity.
Thank you.
Clearly, I mean, this one, this is simple. Once you invoke the dead, you've moved into necromancy and demonic activity.
Necromancy.
Quote, we speak their names and you kind of invoke that spirit, and then their spirits actually become present with you. Unquote. Abdullah, a professor at California State University, stated during the discussion hosted by a Fowler Museum at the UCLA, the University of California, Los Angeles campus. Kulos outlined that she was raised Jehovah's Witness and ancestral worship became really important as she got older. She said that she felt a responsibility to honor the deceased politically and spiritually. Quote, in my tradition, you offer things that your loved one who has passed away would want, whether it's honey or tobacco or things like that. She said, referring to the creation of an ancestor altar, which is sometimes practiced in African cultures. It's also important, not just for us to be in direct relationship to our people who have passed, but also for them to know we've remembered them. I believe some of them work through us. These are coded messages, he's saying.
Dead people are demons. And if they are working through them, it means demons are working.
That means this whole thing is a demonic agenda. It took me almost a year for me to realize that this movement is much more than a racial and social justice movement. Listen to that. This is a co-founder. Not just a floor member, co-founder. At its core, it's a spiritual movement because we are literally standing on spilled blood. Unquote, Abdullah said during her recent interview with Kulos, adding that she knows the BLM co-founder has viewed the issue as spiritual for some time. They never say this on CNN. They always portray it as a social and a political movement for the blacks, fighting for the cause of justice for the blacks. Never have this spiritual dimension been made public until this interview.
Thank God.
He says, when we first started, I remember us going to the ocean. Does it ring a bell? Marine spirits. I remember us going to the ocean and doing these rituals and really feeding our spirits, she outlined. Kulos also explained that she considered whether there was room in the BLM movement for spirituality, and said that she realized there was a need for protection as we started to be more targeted. Spiritual protection is what she's saying here. I feel like so many leaders and so many organizers are deeply engaged in a pretty important spiritual practice, she said, of BLM's work. Kulos cited an article published by the Berkeley Center for Religion, Peace and World Affairs entitled, "The Fight for Black Lives is a Spiritual Movement."
That's it.
You see, so, this is a clear confirmation that this whole thing
is a demonic,
movement.
Is it?
From the horse's own mouth, a co-founder says it herself. This is not someone assuming or making projections. This is from their own leaders or leader. All right, so I think the last news item and then we are done. Bosses in Australia, bosses demand the right to sack their workers if they refuse to get coronavirus vaccine when one is available in Australia. And powerful unions look set to back them. It is starting somewhere. They've already started thinking ahead
of time.
That when the coronavirus comes, this is what we are going to do. You know, This week I saw some statistics. People should just ask themselves these questions. A disease that less than 1% of those getting it are dying.
Yes, too.
We have cancer in Ghana here. This week I saw the statistics. Last year, 51,000 people died in Ghana, total, the whole country. If you divide, divide 51,000 by 365, it should come to 140-something or 100, thereabout, 130-something, thereabout.
Is there 51,000?
Yes, divided by 365 days. So the whole year, 2019, 51,000 people died officially, deaths and deaths registry.
So divided by 365?
Yeah.
It comes up to 139.
So 109
per day.
A day, that's average.
139.7.
So roughly.
So if you
come. So 140.
140 a day.
So 140 people die in Ghana every day. Let's assume, half are old people with no sickness. The rest, cancer, kidney disease is killing a lot in Ghana now, we all know. Diabetes is killing. Heart related is killing. Even malaria still kills in Ghana.
Yeah.
Even malaria is still kills in Ghana. All these killers where people are dying
in the numbers,
hundreds, and even some diabetes, kidney, I'm sure the numbers will be in a few thousands of those numbers there. Why are we not overemphasizing on fixing and solving those problems and getting treatments for those people and all that? Because some can't afford dialysis, that's why they die.
Yeah.
And even preventive and all those. But a disease that less than 1%, so far Ghana's mortality is, I think, 0.6%. But, and it's not only Ghana, all other countries, the statistics show that very few are dying. But it's as if the whole world we've closed the world on hold, and it's like, let's fight for a vaccine for this disease that is killing very few people. Whilst other big killers, we've not even thought of, expanding the treatment for to save more lives. It tells you there's an agenda.
You have an agenda.
You see, I've read various reports here before. This week I read one where the World Economic Forum, their leader, I didn't know I would talk about it, so I don't have it on my tablet here. You know, he has said it, Prince Charles has said it, the UN chief himself, UN boss himself have said it, that they see corona, this COVID-19, as a window of opportunity to change the world. So you see, people should now, it's not just about, a vaccine. They are seeing it as an opportunity to reset the world. Actually, that's the word they use, a global reset, to reset the world to the way they now want it. And the best way they can control people through a reset is if you have a vaccine in place, then you can tie it to it to control people. If you don't take it, then this. If you don't take it, then you lose your job. You don't take it, no pay for you. You don't take it, no school. You don't take it, you can't do your church. Then they can control people. So the issue is not that they love us and they want us to be vaccine, not to have a disease, though. They just want to use it to control human beings. That's the whole agenda. That's the whole agenda. So countries where they are achieving successes, New Zealand, they went 100 days, no case. As soon as they mentioned it in the news, by 130, the cases have started coming up again, and they started lockdown procedures again. It's as if, you shouldn't say that you are progressing and coming out of it. As soon as you start making noise, so Ghana, the way we are making noise, so yeah, we should be careful. But I realize, bam, we've gone up again with some serious spikes. Is it because some people have an agenda to ensure that the thing remains in the system until a vaccine comes? Because, yeah, this is common sense. If, by the grace of God, the whole country, now we are, Ghana's active case is 108,200 and something or so, thereabout. If, let's say, by September ending, we have zero cases. By December, we still don't have a case. When a vaccine comes, will there be the need for a vaccine?
No.
If no one is sick, why go for a vaccine?
Yeah.
So, if countries are coming out and saying that, corona-free, 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 that means then how do you push a vaccine worldwide? So you see where this whole agenda goes. So you see countries start talking of, oh, then a second wave starts. They start talking, oh, we are improving, then a second wave starts. There are some powers that be, they have a plan. So they know what they are doing. So you see this case in Australia where bosses are already planning that when the vaccine comes, they are going to insist that workers take it or they lose their jobs. It's just a prototype of how the world will be when this thing indeed becomes a reality, where there is a vaccine. And we'll continue after this short break. The program is Issues of Life. This is Eben. I'm in the studio with Brother Yawa Redu. We are in very interesting times. For such a time as this, God knew why he allowed you to be part of this generation. He knows why. He knows exactly why he made you and I to be part of this generation. We shouldn't let our time on this earth be a wasted time and opportunity. I'll be back.
Now, all I have is now to be faithful, to be holy, and to shine, lighting up the darkness right now. I really have no choice but to voice the truth to the nations, the generation looking for God. For such a time as this, I was placed upon the earth to hear the voice of God and do his will, whatever it is. For such a time as this, from now and all the days he gives, I am here, I am here, and I am his. For such a time as this, always greener under everybody else's sky. Right here, right here, for this time and place, you can live a mirror of his mercy, a forgiven image of grace. For such a time as this, I was placed upon the earth to hear the voice of God and do his will, whatever it is. For such a time as this, for now and all the days he gives, I am here, and I am his. For such a time as this, until now, but we can change what will be by living in holiness, that the world will see Jesus. For such a time as this, I was placed upon the earth to hear the voice of God
Welcome back to Issues of Life, Spirit 88.3 FM. This is Eben. I'm in the studio with Brother Yao Oredu. Well, we thank God for tonight. We just went through some of the news items, and let me read what Kelvin, my friend, wrote. The headline was, the title was, A Spate of Suicides. In the morning of 20th August 2020, in a vision of the Lord God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, I saw a spate of suicides, including amongst Christians, happening across the nations. This as more birth pains takes root. Couldn't they just wait a little longer for the coming of the Lord? The Lord inspires me to ask therein in the vision of the Lord. The vision of the Lord then ended. Short one. Then he wrote this in addition, the note. Tough times are coming across the nations as the earth that's in the world continues to navigate through the wake-up calls of the Lord. That's the birth pangs, that's the beginning of sorrows. But those who endure and persevere to the end will be saved. People have become so entrenched into deep slumber of the world. The only way to wake them up, snatch them and separate them from the world and this sinful lifestyle is a wake-up call of the Lord. The shaking will be intense, and some, instead of running to the Lord in repentance, will choose the wrong path of suicide in an attempt to escape from the beginning of sorrows. That will be an eternal mistake, as all who commit suicide have their eternal home in hellfire. Even some Christians will despair and join the suicide bandwagon. Hence the lamentation of the Lord, couldn't they just wait a little longer for the coming of the Lord? Be careful, be wise, be holy, and be righteous. Trust and hope in the Lord, endure till the end, and you'll be saved. Those who trust and hope in the Lord will have the peace of the Lord, even in the midst of the birth pains of the hour. Pray and ask God for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding on how to navigate through the ensuing birth pains that are set to continue and to become even worse. Kelvin Mirasi. You know, yeah, this is a practical outcome of failing to heed the warnings of the Lord and not knowing the times we live in. This is what will happen if people think all is well when indeed all is not well. And there was one news item, I wish I could find it, but they were warning about the fact that there's already an increase in suicide rates, in suicide in some countries. And this was a Christian report. So we have to be very careful and take these things as, see, we shouldn't downplay these things as nothing, because suicide is a spirit. Last year, there was a case in the U.S. where a pastor went to officiate or to bury a member who committed suicide. When he got home, he also committed suicide. So, you see, it tells you that there's a spirit behind it. So, if you are not careful, it can easily, because the pastor was also suffering from, you know, psychological depression and whatever they call it, and all these things. So, after going to bury the person, the lady who also had a similar issue and committed suicide, it's a spiritual thing. So you start hearing voices. You also start hearing voices that, well, if someone has committed suicide, let me, and she's gone to be with the Lord, let me also go. I'm even struggling in the world. Let me also go. And you see, we shouldn't ever deceive ourselves that when you commit suicide, you are going to heaven. It's never, never the case, because you are killing yourself. It's murder. So we should never be deceived. You see, and indeed, it will get to the point where things may be so difficult. I remember recently, is it 4 weeks or so, after the morning message, one of the days I wrote on suicide. And then I got in the morning, I sent it around 5 something. And then later in the morning, I got a voice note that this message has saved me. I was about considering suicide. I had gone to buy medicine and all that. Someone was about to. And this is the second time I've had such a message from someone who was on the verge of suicide, but because of a message on suicide, changes the way.
Hallelujah.
Some years back, I went to visit this lady friend. We're both colleagues working at the same place, and where we were staying, she was the next block. So I went there. I was going to look for my other mates. My actual mate, she was a junior, but my mates were in that block. I was in a separate block. But my actual mates and friends were not there. So I said, she's also, let me just pass by and say hi. She was on the ground floor. And I entered the room and she was sitting there sorrowfully looking like not herself as I used her. I know her. I asked her why, and like she was quiet. So I was just encouraging her. Then she opened her bag, took out the paper and then started tearing the paper. Then what I said, that was a suicide note. You see, so it's a real thing. It's a real thing, and people can get close to it and eventually can cross over and do it when they don't get the right advice or the right messages or warnings to cause them to act and change and stop the action. So these are the reasons why we are giving some of these warnings from the Lord, so that we know that the Lord said these things will happen. So that when you start seeing it happening, you should not lose hope. You should rather get closer to God and hold on and trust in Him. You see, and there's one message I don't know whether you saw the church one that I sent you. Glenda's, the church one. Let me read that one first.
Okay.
Then we move on from there. Uh-huh. Because you see, this one I'm coming to read, this warning is very important. It links to exactly what I'm talking about now. Where is it? Okay. Yeah, it says, the churches of the world, that's the headline. The churches of the world have failed to teach my people how to believe me for all they need. Many have taught fallacies and lies, and now my people are in want. I shall hold them, that's the churches, into bracket the churches, responsible for this. And I shall hold my people responsible for neglecting my word. My word is clear, but you have not made time for me, my people. And now the faith you need to survive is lacking. The faith you need to survive is lacking. My children, I desire you would make your time in my holy word a priority. In your life, to be first. What is more important than your God to you? Can that, into bracket, whatever is more important than God, save you when the end comes? Can it protect you from harm? If you will make the effort to spend time with me, I will help you build your faith in time for what comes.
What is ahead?
Yeah. You must make this choice of your own free will. If you neglect to do this, what is coming will terrify you. And that's exactly what we are talking about here. You see, if we don't have a grounding, so the essence of these messages and discussions that we have along these things, the world, the state of the world and all that, is to let us understand that we have to establish ourselves in the Lord with more seriousness. You see, because the times ahead are not for casual Christians. The times ahead are not for part-time Christians. Because, you see, you see some things and it's like, it will really shake you. But if you know your faith is in the Lord and you are grounded in Him, you know, it's just like saying that we are sitting here. There's no train line on this road here. But I tell you that at 9:30, a train is coming to pass here tonight. You know there's no train line, no rail line. But if 9:30, you hear and the train is passing, will you be surprised? You will not, because
you've been
told I told already. You that a train will pass on this street, LS Avenue here. Though there's no rail line, a train will pass here at 9:30. So if you see a train moving here at 9:30, you will not be too surprised because you were given an advance notice that a train is going to pass here at 9:30. That's as the whole essence of what God is doing to his children by these prophetic warnings and the dreams and the visions and all that. No, this week I was telling someone that, see, if Joel 2, please, can you read for me the dreams and visions verse?
Okay, Joel chapter 2.
Yeah.
And please see. Joel chapter 2, to be from 28.
Mm-hmm.
Kindly bear with me for my voice. So,
mm-hmm.
The voice is working, so mm-hmm. Kindly bear with me. Joel chapter 2, verse 28 down. You see, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh,
mm-hmm.
and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy.
Mm-hmm.
Your old men shall dream dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids, in those days will I pour out my spirit.
See, the truth is that the Bible is the word of God. But God knew that the people who will be in the latter days will need extra information to add up, to just like supplementary information to add up to the word of God. So those extra information, no, actually, if the dreams and the visions will be the same verses as line to line as in the Bible, then there's no need for a dream and vision again because it's the same thing that we have in the Bible.
Yeah.
So the dreams and the visions are going to be extra information to support and expand what is in the word of God.
Yeah.
So that's the whole essence. You see, so God has planned already that when a certain time approaches, the people in the latter days will need extra information to guide, to be guided through life and to help them navigate the times ahead. So he will start showing extra information. He will start giving extra information. He will show people things. He will tell people things. And that is where we are now, where now there's an overload of information. But unfortunately, people are despising them. It's very unfortunate, but that's the reality. You see, because people don't understand the fundamentals of why God will do these things. We have to understand it that it's because he needs us to know how to go through the times we are in. That's why he is guiding and giving us these things. So if God gives a warning that country should put their house in order, my people there should pray, they should repent, they should do that, they should do this, they should do that. It's for their own good. And that's where we are now. So if we put all these things together, the bottom line is, it's time to draw closer to God. It's time we get deeper into him and hold on to the cross more than ever before. More than ever before. Because see, when you know that, you see, we are at a point where if you are not careful and you slip off now, it may be too late for you.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. No, when you, I remember earlier in the year, I went to work on a ship somewhere in Takrad, secondary Takrad, yeah, that area. And the ship was on the sea itself. So we had to use a boat to the ship. So it's like we were in a boat, a smaller boat, and going to the ship, and then going. And now climbing from the boat onto the ship, you know that you have to be careful because if you slip... If you sleep, we are going into the sea. So you exercise as much caution as possible. You are very careful as possible. And because of the work I was going to do, I wasn't wearing like slip chalote or slippers, something that the under is slippery. You have to wear the boots. The boots that engineers wear type of, because the under should be rugged for you to hold, not a slippery type, because and you are preparing yourself for a certain terrain and environment because you know that is how it is. So your grip and everything is firm, and that's how we should now treat our walk with the Lord. We should know that we are now, the sea under us is now deadly grounds where, I mean, evil is waiting to consume and, I mean, devour us. So we hold on to Christ with all the effort that we can to ensure that we don't slip off. These are not the times to be playing with our Christianity at all. So yeah, which one are you moving to now?
Reverend, let me see. I will read the one from Byron's son. Mm-hmm. See, I'll start from him and then, you know, I'll go to grandfather. Grandfather Raymond. Yeah. Because I saw some interesting revelations, prophecies from Raymond Aguilera, and I'll be reading those ones as well. Because, you know, we come to talk, and at times, you know, the prophecies, many, God is using his watchmen everywhere. He's been using them, but the problem is majority of us, we don't even look for those information. Mm-hmm. There are people whom truly God is using, sending messages through. We seems not to even know those people. You know, today, bear with me. The voice is down. We've been working with the voice. And God willing, brethren, next week, maybe I'll be calling you from the north.
My foot, yeah.
But next week, we'll be somewhere in the north. I hear, is this a Luluto something? Around Salaga areas. We'll be there for about 2 weeks. But next 2 weeks, Friday, Saturday, I'm sure for that one,
okay,
we will have come here. Now, please, kindly listen to these prophecies, which, by the grace of Christ Jesus, we're going to share. One message was to pastors, and also one message was to the church. Very lengthy. We'll be reading all of them. And also, this one was for America. Let me read this American one first, and this one came through Byron Seal. Byron Seal. And it was received on the 20th of August, 2020. 20th of August, 2020. And it was shared or published on the 23rd of August, 2020. And it was entitled, Sword of the Lord. Sword of the Lord. This is the same man the Lord gave him, the audios God we played last week, yeah, on the program. Yeah, the Are You Ready? Part 1, Part 2, and Part 3. And I believe this happens to be, this could have been marked Part 4. Now let's listen. The Lord gave a Bible verse to the effect, Jeremiah chapter 12 and 13. Jeremiah 12, 12 and 13. He said, the spoilers are come upon all the high places through the wilderness, for the sword of the Lord shall devour from one end of the land even to the other end of the land. No flesh shall have peace. They have sown wheat, but shall reap thorns. They have put themselves to pain, but shall not profit. And they shall be ashamed of your revenues because of the fierce anger of the Lord. Another verse the Lord gave was Judges chapter 7, verse 20. Judges chapter 7. Verse 20, and he said, then the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the jars. They held in their hands, he said, they held in their left hands the torches and in their right hands the trumpets to blow. And they cried out, a sword of the Lord and for Gideon. Now let's listen to the message given him. He said, my son, set your ear towards heaven and hear the voice of this day. I have shouted the warnings to prepare. I have sounded the clarion to be ready. I have whispered things to you to tell my remnant. Now my sword is bearing down on the world and on this most vile nation. And you know, this prophet, most of his prophecies are specifically for the United States of America.
Yeah.
But remember, it affects the entire world. He said, I have given you 7 weeks to prepare, to get your hearts and houses in order, to call a solemn fast and repent. For now is the time. 6 weeks have passed. Are you ready? There is 1 week remaining to gather yourselves and your hearts to me. And this one was received, as I said, it was received on the 20th. So if it was left with 1 week, what is today's date? Today happens to be 27th. So God willing, started from tomorrow onwards. The people of USA, we know a lot of things are going to happen. Now let me continue. He said, repent now, for the time to prepare is nearly up, and my sword will strike this world. My son, I weep, for many of my pastors have destroyed my vineyard. They have taught lies and abominations to my children. Woe to the children who have not come out of the great hall and chose to reject me. The sword will cut asunder all that have followed man and his lies. These pastors have been more concerned with numbers and money than the Holy God. I will send my sword to cut them asunder and rip my part from them. These lying pastors will gladly follow the son of perdition and take many of my children with them. Woe to those who teach false doctrines and follow false prophets. My judgment is upon the world and not blessing. My son, days of upheavals and great darkness are upon this nation. As the king I put in power is fulfilling his place. Now listen to this. The last week the Lord gave the prophecy. He said he came just to ensure he brings judgment to the USA. And last week I read a prophecy of Raymond Aguilar. When it was left with Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, the Lord said, USA, upon all the people you have, you are now left with these two evil choices. So when you decide, you know, the Lord says, if the righteous rule, what happens? The people rejoice. But when the wicked rule, then the nation gets into trouble. So there is no prophet of God or child of God who will be reigning in the nation for problems and challenges and war to be coming. That is why Christians, we need to be very much careful about Donald Trump. For those on the broadcast list, I send them the prophecies concerning Donald Trump even before we voted for him to come. Trust only the Lord Jesus. Trust only the word of God. Forget about the politicians. They are all from the same source. In Ghana, NDC, MPP, they are from the same source. In the USA, Democrat, Democrat, Republicans, they are from the same place. You go to Nigeria, the politicians, they are from the same place. So if you are a heavenly minded person, never, never support them. If not, you'll be disgraced. You will be disgraced. Let's continue. He said, I say, stomp the ground, shout a great shout, break the jars, for my sword is cutting out my chosen ones. They will rise and shine as the sun to gather the harvest in the midst of the great confusion, tribulation that is coming. Jesus is saying he is cutting out his chosen ones. And they are going to gather the harvest. And that is Matthew 24. Matthew 24 from 9. Talking about you shall be killed. You shall have afflictions. It got to verse 14. And he said, this gospel shall be preached in all the world. So in the midst of the great tribulation, in the midst of the suffering, those chosen by God, they will be everywhere preaching. It takes one condition to be part. To fully surrender to Christ Jesus. Accept his word. Live according to his word. And be prepared. Let us continue. It says, My precious jewels, who have yearned to serve me, will step onto the stage. Have you heard? There are some people about to step onto the stage for Christ. He said, the time is now, my son, to draw close to me. Tell my remnant to draw close, nay, draw closer. My son, my children have not heed the words of warning from my watchmen and prophets, and their blood is off your hands. So as we continue to warn you, True Spirit FM 88.3 on the program Issues of Life, your blood is going to be on your own head. Your blood is off our hands and off our heads. He said, those who mock and scoff at these words will be given, he said, at these words, given will stand before me and give account of their words. My word says that I tell my watchmen and prophets of the things that will come to pass. You, my children, have been warned. Repent now, for you do not know when you will stand before me. Repent now of the sin of wickedness in your heart. My son, my children have rejected the ones I have chosen, the ones I have marked. This is what is happening. God has chosen some people worldwide. They are not those you know. No. The message they will give to me and you, we don't feel comfortable. It is God who has chosen them. He said they chose to ignore the warnings to prepare. Those will perish. They say we are poor and have no money to prepare. I say unto you, you have nothing for 7 weeks. You know, the Lord has been warning the USA, be prepared. Something is coming. Prepare for 7 weeks. So those who said, we don't have any money to prepare, we don't have any money to buy. He said, for 7 weeks, you are saying you did not have anything? Let's continue. He said, many have the chance to prepare, but starting in 1 week, the store shelves will grow more barren. And the time to prepare will turn into a time of survival. Repent now. Repent now. Repent now. The sword of the Lord is falling, and many will be caught unawares. Prepare now. Get your house in order and get your house in order. My son, many have prepared. They are the wise virgins. They will have a place at the great feast. They will withstand my fierce anger as my sword comes down. Many will be chained into mighty warriors. God is about to change some people into mighty warriors, and you're going to be surprised. God is doing it. He said, going forth into the dark world for a short period. So for a short period, God is going to commission some warriors, and everybody is going to be surprised. Yeah. They will go into the world.
Including children.
Children. They will preach. Yeah. Women, men, old women. And God is going to use them greatly. Let's continue. He says, stand fast, my chosen ones. I love you all, and will see you all very soon. Amen. Given by the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. So you, I see, starting from tomorrow onwards.
That's first. First September. That's first is Tuesday. Oh.
Start. They should be expecting.
No, actually, September, Pastor Dana.
Dana also hit on
the calendar that the Lord showed him that September, something is going to happen.
So be prepared. When I got this message, I recorded it. And especially with the part one, part two, I sent it to everybody I know in the USA.
Yeah.
And I told them, prepare. If you prepare with food and nothing happens,
You lose nothing.
You lose nothing.
You can still eat it.
You can still eat it.
But if you don't. Quick addition to what 30 years ago this book was written, A Vision of the Harvest.
Okay.
And let me just read a portion from page 29. The headline is Anarchy.
Okay.
But it has something in line with what you just said. 30 years ago, the Lord showed him this. Huge mobs will roam through cities, attacking everything in their paths. The infrastructure of the great denominational churches and large visible ministries will be one of their primary targets. And many will vanish almost overnight. Pagan religions and cults and witchcraft will spread like plagues, but these will also become targets of the mobs. By this time, governments will have broken down to the point where lynching and mass executions perpetrated by these mobs are ignored by the authorities. Fear and deep darkness will cover the earth, but this will just make the glory which is appearing upon the saints more striking.
Hallelujah.
Huge masses of people will be streaming to the Lord. The inflow so great in places that very young Christians will be pastoring large bodies of believers.
Kadimonozi.
Arenas and stadiums will overflow nicely as the believers come together to hear apostles and teachers and to witness the ministry of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Oh, I'll send it to you. And another pastor, he died last year, Neville Johnson, at 80-something. Years back, he too, the Lord showed him the revival that is coming. And he kept preaching before he died. He kept talking that churches should equip themselves to the point where we have to now, we'll get to the point where discipleship will have to be done at fast track because the souls coming will be too many that you can't go through, in some churches, discipleship classes like 3 months. He said it can't be possible because you have to quickly raise them up to grow, mature in the Lord so quickly that fast track, because people are just coming to Christ. So you see, this and the sad thing is this. Whilst many are streaming in,
many will be going out.
Some too.
Many who used to away. Stand.
And this is Christ. Where Jesus said, the first shall be the last. And that warning goes to all of us. And so the fact that you've been a Christian for 20, 13, 15, how many years, we are even now, we should even be more careful now because we are at a point where the falling away is about to happen.
He said, this book was written by who?
Joiner.
You just...
30 years ago, 1995. And the vision, it says what is happening now in the world, especially in the US, what is unfolding, the description, the spirit behind the law. It's exactly what he wrote, or the Lord showed him all in the book. And we are seeing it unfolding. And actually, we are just, what we are seeing, the BLM, what the Antifa and the BLM, we are seeing the US, it's just like the first page of what is coming. We've not seen anything yet.
Dear man of God, man of God, you know, Reverend, a certain lady called me from Georgia. I don't know her.
Yeah.
She called me a month ago and gave me a message. And it was a serious message. It's not easy about the call we have now. Mm-hmm. We've not met before.
Yeah.
Sent me a message, say, this is what the Lord said your call is.
Wow.
And I asked, so I wanted to know much about her. Which church are you in? He said, for the past, I've been 12 years in ministry. Always, the Lord sends me,
yeah.
I go. The Lord sends me, and I go.
Yeah.
This is where we get into. Reverend, now let's see this. A message for pastors. It was given to Grandpa Raymond Aguilera. That is prophecy number 354. 354, and it was given on the 15th of September, 1993. 15 September 1993 at 9:12 a.m. So 1993 to 2020, 32. About, is it 27?
93.
1993, 7 years will bring it to 2000. So about 27.
Are you sure?
Yeah, about 27. Because adding 7 years to bring it to year 2000. Then when you add,
we are 2020. In
2020. So 27.
Okay.
Is it 27? Mm-hmm. A message for pastors. Dear men of God, women of God, please, let's listen. Yes, pastors, Ray, I am telling you the truth with my word. Raimondo, you have to open your eyes. You have to open everything you have. And you have to point it to heaven. He said you have to point it towards heaven. Toward your God, your Christ. And the Holy Spirit is going to show you the things of heaven, of the Father, of the Son, and of all that is straight. But if you make your heart hard, I will hit you with my hand, hard and direct. For I am going to gather my sheep. I am going to gather everything that is mine. And you have to do what I tell you. For the mind of man is filthy, and what is mine is clean and direct and pointed towards heaven. I don't care what you want. I don't care what you want to do and what you think is the word of God. For I am God, and I am the word, and I have the force, and what I say is going to happen. You can't do a thing. Do you hear me with your ears, with your hard heart? I tell you with the love of heaven. I tell you with the love of my Son. I tell you with the love of the Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit, the truth. For I am going to gather my sheep. I want you to come with me. For I am God. You are nothing. Did you hear me, pastors? You are nothing. I am everything. Open the Bible and read all the words of God, where God says what is going to happen to pastors that do not do what I say. Read it with your ears, with your eyes. Hear it with your ears, with your heart, with your spirit. Read the word of God in the Bible, where I tell you what is going to happen and what is going to happen to pastors that don't do what I tell them. For I am not playing. This is not a game that you can do what you want. For I am God. I am everything. I tell you with the love of heaven. I tell you with everything that is straight. You have to break your heart and look for my sheep. You have to repent of all the sins you have done in the name of God. For my Son is going to read your heart, and you won't be able to lie, for he reads all. Remember that I am telling you the truth with love. I will stop, he said, I will stop you. I will hit you with my word directly and hard. For I don't lie, but I want to tell you that I love you with all my love, with all that is in heaven. But this is not a game. For the things you want, he said, for the things you want, the things are mine because I am God. You are nothing. Remember, tell yourself these things in your mind over and over, that you are nothing, that you are nothing, that you are nothing. I'm just reading as though, it's not that I'm repeating the same thing, I'm just reading as it was written.
Yeah.
That God is everything, the Father is everything, the Son is everything, the Holy Spirit is everything. Harry, tell yourself everything I have, you say, I just have told you in your mind. You are nothing. You are nothing. You are nothing. Your Father of heaven with the Son and the Holy Spirit is everything. I want you to tell yourself these things every morning for 2 hours every morning. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Man of God, we are being told, women of God, we are being told we should tell ourselves we are nothing for 2 hours in the morning so that it can sink into you and me, our heads. He said, tell yourself these things in your mind until you have them directly and straight. For it is the truth. Your Father in heaven is everything. Your Father in heaven is everything. With the Son, with the Holy Spirit, you are nothing. You are nothing. For the Father is going to gather the sheep, and he wants all the pastors to have all the mind, all the heart. I say all the heart and all pointed towards heaven for the sheep. Tell the sheep to repent and to point everything they have towards heaven. To repent and to drink and eat the communion every day. Every day. He said every day two times. This is not a game. This is until the end. Did you hear me, pastors? Did you hear me? This is your Father with the Son, with the Holy Spirit. For the devil is going to want to eat you with his pointed teeth, with his wet mouth, and with his hanging tongue. And with it, he said, I tell you these things before they begin, for I love you with my heart. This is Jesus telling us that we are going, Satan will want to eat me and you. But sadly, majority of us are saying, no, it will not happen. We will be taken away. This is a prophecy given in 1993. Let me read it again. For the devil is going to want to eat you with his pointed teeth, with his wet mouth, with his hanging tongue. I am telling you this thing before they begin. For I love you with my heart. I love you with everything that is. But you have to do what I tell you. And if you don't do it, I am going to give you to the devil. And he is going to do everything he wants with you. And I am not joking. This is the truth. For these tears are for the sheep. All the sheep. All the sheep I have given, my son, are in your hands. So you can show them the word of God. I am not saying your word. I am saying my word, for I only have one word. I will see you, and I'm telling you the truth. I will see you. This is just one. Now, this is another one given to Raymond Aguilera, prophecy number 94.
Can we finish it because of the time?
Yeah, I will try and finish it. We have about 9 minutes. Mm-hmm. Is it 11? I will try and finish it. You see, prophecy number 94. Message to the flock of Jesus Christ. Jesus prays to the Father. He said, Ramses will begin to move on the front row as the crow flies west, but the beetle will remain behind the beetle. He said, will remain behind, for the beetle is wounded. And the beetle will fall. I don't know what this thing stands for. But this is a prophecy.
A coded message.
It continues. It says, whilst the ark is in place, the cloud with Jesus Christ of Nazareth will receive the Christians with a clean heart, clean mind, clean body. The obedient ones, the ones who obey me, Jehovah, on the little things. Things that you pass off as well, I will do it tomorrow, for I am tired today. For the things you say, that's not my job. That's somebody else's job. For Jehovah looks at the heart, and there is no conceivable way of fooling me. For the ways and manners of Jehovah will never be the same as the manner, that of man. You have to look to Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and the Holy Spirit will show you and guide you. People of the world, I don't care if you are a sinner or a Christian or into New Age. I don't care what you call yourself. The label is not important to me. All that is important to me is that you do unto others as you have done. He said, you do unto others as you have others to do unto you. You love your neighbor. You repent of your sins when you fall. And you look to Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Let's continue, my son. It is basically simple and direct. It is clean. It is pure. You help each other. Why is it that, he said, why is that so hard to understand? You have so many different faiths, so many different religions in the name of Christ. So many of you are so confused about Christ. You are looking for him over there and over here. You are looking for him at church. You are looking for him wherever you might think he might be. Why are you so blind? The counselor, the comforter is right there with you right now, this instant. He is talking to you. He is trying to show you the direction of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. All you have to do is to take your hands out of your ears and remove them from your eyes. Listen, listen to the voice that tells you to be good. Listen to the voice that tells you to help each other. Stop the greediness, this bragging and boastfulness. Even if even if it's in the name of Jesus Christ, for Jesus Christ doesn't want anyone to boast, anyone who brags. Humble yourselves. Take care of each other, the sick, the lame, the homeless. You have so many problems. I am sorry to say, no one is really helping each other in the manner that was directed in the Bible. Everybody is going about their own way. You are so worried about doctrine. You are so worried about being accepted by the, you say, by the people in the group in your church. I want you to be in the group with the homeless, with the hungry, with the sick. That is the, you say, that's the group. That's the group that Christ came to help. The ones who had no one. The ones who smell when you approach them. The ones that are so skinny. They are falling on their faces. The ones who are freezing at night because they are sleeping in the street. The ones that the demons have gotten so wrapped into drugs and sex. They do not know what to do. I have given you power through the Holy Spirit, to cast out demons, to cure the sick. All the gifts I have given you, but you have been so busy in your little cliques, in your little church, trying to satisfy each other. What a shame. What a shame. What a shame. I love you, and I want you all to live in heaven. It doesn't matter what you have done. It doesn't matter what you are doing. What does matter is if you are hearing my word and you don't correct your ways, for then you are lost. For the devil warn you. For the law of Jehovah, the law of Jesus, the law of the Holy Spirit is really simple. Turn to Jesus. Turn to Jesus. To Jesus is the way to me, Jehovah. The power of the Holy Spirit is at the disposal. At your disposal. Read the Bible with an open mind. Don't dedicate to other people what I will say. That is my job. I tell you, people, what I want is not for you to put words into my mouth, for I am perfectly capable to speak for myself. You theologians are just, I really do not know how to explain how and when even that are going to happen. Where you can stand firm and lead your flock into safety. For, he said, for you are so easily swayed. You are so quick to condemn. You are so judgmental. Turn to Jesus. It is simple and direct. I am coming to consecrate on the flock, for the leadership is totally confused. There is a small portion that still has not fallen away. But this true theologian, you see, but these true theologians, these true followers of Jesus Christ do not have following. They do not have the fancy cars, the fancy suit, the fancy hairdos, the fancy wares. These true pastors are living in the gutters. You see, living in the gutters, eating with the people that need help. They have given them the shirt off their back. They are walking around hungry. They are walking around without clothes. But they truly love me with their whole heart and soul. When they see someone who needs help, there is such a burden in their heart. Tears come to their eyes with their limited means, which generally is nothing but prayer and little token of help. They love, you see, they love to have, you see, the love they have for me is given to all those who need me, those who are true pastors of the flock, those who are true followers of my word, not the ones who live in nice houses, not the ones who say pretty words, not the ones who glory themselves and are puffed up, full of ego and pride, the ones who are living in the ghetto and are ministering one to one. You do not have to make an appointment with them to see them. They don't have busy schedules. They need no secretary. And that they do not need secretary. I'm leaving it for now because of the time. But this is what the Lord is saying. Men of God, women of God, I will try and forward this script to all of you, those on the broadcast list. I'll forward it so that you get to know the era we are in. Strip yourself all the goodies and go to the gutters, the ghettos. We have to go to them. May Jesus Christ be with us, brethren.
Yeah, you know, these are the times of reminding ourselves of God's words and the warnings so that we act on them. No, I think I told you, I mean, was it Wednesday? I was praying, like, what to share today and all that. And then I heard it on three different occasions, clearly. We should keep sending the warnings. Those who hear, will hear. So we'll do what the Lord has directed and the Lord keeps directing. And that's the time we find ourselves in. Issues of Life is the program. We thank God for tonight. God, in the next week, will be coming your way. And we had a few challenges with the site. I'm revamping it and all that. So hoping the course of next week, God willing, to be ready for usage. But the files, the recorded files will still be put there when it's ready. Good night. God bless you. This is Eben. I had Brother Yao Redu with me. Good night.